Thank you, Miss Stacy, Brother Earl, and PJ for those special songs. I sure hope they bring back patriotic memories, but also memories just touch your heart. I can't, and I think we'd be sort of remiss in our duty if we didn't stop for just a moment here and be reminded of those who are serving in our armed forces all around the world, and this very day standing in harm's way that we might be able to enjoy our freedom here. And it scares me that there's another generation coming up that doesn't appreciate the sacrifice that's being made. Now, I'm not saying that we're not a patriotic country, but I think that there are some people who would just as well we forgot all of our roots, and we need to remember that from the beginning of our nation up till today, somebody has fought, bled, and died, and suffered, and their families done without. Not just those who are on the foreign field, but the families left back home are suffering as a result of somebody being willing to stand up and help fight for our freedom. And I know it's on a foreign shore, but I'd rather they be fighting there than have to be fighting outside of Ludwigsen. And so thank God for those who are there. So let's remember them today and think about them. Maybe you've got a loved one. Maybe you've got a family member. Maybe you've got a friend that's overseas or somewhere stationed in the military. If you do, would you just lift up your hand? Anybody like that? Maybe, or again, immediate family member, quite a few hands that are up. So let's remember, Brother, I want you to lead us in prayer for those, if you would, today. And let's just be mindful of those troops, men and women, both who are standing for us, for our liberty. Yes. Yes. Amen, Brother Earl. Thank you. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Proverbs chapter number 14. I'll read a very familiar verse that we think about often when we consider America and we think about our great country's birthday coming up on this Tuesday. I saw one interview last night where they asked some guy on the college, I think it was Arizona State, what was the year that our nation declared its independence? And the fellow said, 1984. And I'm like, come on, please, surely we know better than that. And yet, it's just the age we live in, I guess. Everybody's up on what's on Facebook and Twitter, but nobody knows anything about our past. So Proverbs 14:34, a very familiar verse. Let me read it to you, and I'm sure you know it as well. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Could I ask you to read it out loud with me? Let's begin. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I want to use that to preach to you for just a little while this morning on that subject of how righteousness exalts a nation. This year, 2017, marks the 241st birthday of the United States, having begun, we'll get it correct, 1776, July the 4th. And while celebrating this great occasion, we cannot forget the rich Christian heritage that we all have. And I know the liberals and others have mocked and ridiculed those of us that believe in a Christian heritage, but when you stick endowed by their Creator in the midst of the Declaration of Independence, you got to say something about a Christian God who brought about a nation. And I think it's important that we realize that those who were intertwined in our nation's founding had Christian roots, and they came to this nation with the idea of trying to develop a place where they could have true, genuine, religious freedom, and they should worship God by the dictates of their own conscience without fear of the government infringing upon those rights. And do you realize that to this day, we still have to stay on guard about that very thing taking place? And it's important that we understand our forefathers believed in worshiping God freely, and they stood by what the psalmist said in Psalm 33 and verse 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Now, I believe in our Christian roots, and if you do, you can say an amen, or you can wave a flag. You've got plenty right there. So if you're kind of the quiet type and don't want to say an amen, wave a flag this morning. Keep your preacher going, all right? But I say this to you. Things have changed a lot since those early days when we seem to recognize and honor God to the day in which we live now when so many things have changed. See if you could spot this list I give you. See if you can spot the oddity in this list. Earthquakes, floods, droughts, riots, racism, fake news, terrorist attacks, cancer, AIDS, tuberculosis, hurricanes, God's blessing, and tornadoes. Did you notice anything that was odd in that whole list? The one odd thing was God's blessing. It seems like all those other things are not only here, but have been ramped up to a whole nother level to where many people in America are afraid to live their lives and just to go out and enjoy life because of all the mess that seems to be going on around us. I think one of the reasons that we don't have a recognition and an honoring of the blessings of God is because maybe this verse, the last part of verse 34, sin is a reproach to any people. You know, our nation, if you think about this, got a few things that might help you understand how we're doing morally in our country. We've almost turned into a nation that has allowed sin to be a reproach upon our country. Crime, for instance. Did you know that every 78 seconds someone in the United States is robbed? Every 33 seconds a car is stolen, and every 10 seconds a burglar strikes. Adultery is another area where morality has seemed to be pushed aside. USA Today reported that 50 to 60% of married couples admit to adultery. Rape is a horrible crime, but yet the Harris poll recently taken set the figure at 380,000 rapes or sexual assaults that took place in this past year. The Justice Department presents the idea that 8% of all American women will be victims of crime or attempted sexual assault in their lifetime. These are unacceptable things in a free nation. Pornography. The UPI News reported this, that porn video rentals alone soared to $665 million as recent as 10 years ago. Think about this. Over $100 billion is spent every year in our nation just to have to deal with alcohol addiction. So drunkenness is another problem you could put in that list. I don't have time to tell you about how bad abortion is, but the murder of little innocent babies within the womb is a horrible crime to which God will judge, because sin is a reproach to any people. You don't have to be a radical Islamist nation in order for us to see God's judgment on them. God's judgment will be on us if we continue to kill little babies and let crime run rampant. My point is this. Yes, our forefathers started this nation with good Christian values and principles, but we've gotten away from them to a great degree. Another area which we might say not morally, but spiritually. The Barna Research Group found that 62% of Americans profess to be Christians. And yet the book, The Day America Told the Truth, said that 91% lie regularly. That seems unusual. I'm a Christian, but I lie. Well, I know we all probably let a white one slip every now and then, but when it's the practice of your life, that lying, and you're living that double life, my friend, you're inviting the judgment of God. Sin is a reproach to any people. On a lighter note, only in America can a pizza get to your house before an ambulance. Only in America are there handicapped places in front of a skating rink. Think about that, would you? Only in America do drugstores make the sick people walk all the way to the back of the store to get their prescriptions. Why don't they put that right up there by the door? Only in America do people order double cheeseburgers, a large fry, and a Diet Coke. I'm guilty. Only in America do banks leave both doors open and chain their pins to the counter. Like people gonna break in a bank and steal the pins. Only in America do we leave cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and leave useless junk in the garage. Some of y'all gonna go home and clean this afternoon, I'm sure. Only in America do we use answer machines to screen calls, then have call waiting so we don't miss a call from someone we'd want to talk to in the first place. Only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of 8. Only in America do we have drive-up banking with Braille lettering. Y'all seen that? Think about it. You go up to the ATM and there's Braille there. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of blind people drive up there and just reach out. Of course, having seen some drivers on the highway, I think there are some blind ones out there. I ran across this. You remember Donald Trump made a big deal of that. He was talking about things he was going to do. And the number one thing was jobs, jobs, jobs. Well, regarding jobs and the layoffs that have happened in the United States in recent years, consider this. Joe Smith, started the day early, having set his alarm clock, made in Japan, for 6 a.m., while his coffee pot, made in China, was percolating, he shaved with his electric razor, made in Hong Kong. He put on a dress shirt, made in Sri Lanka, designer jeans, made in Singapore, and tennis shoes, made in Korea. After cooking his breakfast in his new electric skillet, made in India, he sat down with his calculator, made in Mexico, to see how much he could spend today. After setting his watch, made in Taiwan, to the radio, made in India, he got in his car, made in Germany, and continued his search for a good-paying American job. At the end of yet another discouraging and fruitless day, Joe decided to relax for a while, so he put on his sandals, made in Brazil, poured himself a glass of wine, made in France, and turned on his TV, made in Indonesia, and then wondered why in the world he couldn't get a good job paying in America. Our nation's funny, isn't it? But it wasn't that way back in the days of our forefathers. Things were different. And I'm sure you know some of these things, but there was a day when the deep religious convictions of our forefathers were paramount everywhere you looked. Some of us that are of older descent, and we've been here for a while, as evidenced by our gray hairs, can remember a day when the Bible was the main textbook in every education arena. Perhaps you know that God was part of class and state discussions with respect given to Him, not in ridicule or dishonor. Our earliest universities were founded to help train preachers. Harvard, for instance, was established in 1636 with this stated purpose, was for students to know God and to recognize Jesus Christ as the foundation of all learning. Harvard has gone a long way since then. Yale was established in 1701, in which they made this statement. They said, quote, God is the source of all wisdom, and required all students to attend daily prayer services. Yale has come a long way, baby, since those days. Princeton was established in 1746 and proclaimed this, quote, cursed is all learning contrary to the cause of Jesus Christ. Again, Princeton has come a long way from those days. The early leaders of our nation unashamedly went to their knees in prayer, not just for political reasons like we saw. Many of us alive right now can remember when 9/11 2001 happened, and all congressmen and senators gathered out on the Capitol steps, and they all began to sing God Bless America. And we watched just recently, and I said to myself when it happened, when Steve Scalise was shot up there practicing for a baseball game, some of y'all saw that on the news, he was shot, and everybody said, let's lay down our ugly rhetoric, let's quit throwing ugly barbs at one another, and let's quit criticizing such a great degree. And I said, it'll last about 3 or 4 days. I think it made about a week and a half, but everybody's already right back to the whole issue of throwing such slander and libel at one another. It's a shame. It's no wonder nothing gets done in Washington, because all they're doing is fighting like a bunch of youngins on a playground. And I know the president can't, but I just about wish he could bring a bunch of them into the principal's office and give them a paddling and say, now get back to your class and pass a law that'll help our people. But we're living in a different America now. We're not living in the America that Patrick Henry talked about when he said this. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why he could say, give me liberty or give me death. We need some more men like Patrick Henry. I want to call your attention to three quick things this morning in regard to our passage that we read. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Surely, what I've given you already is point number one, America's past history. Righteousness exalteth a nation. What brought us to the status that we all like to think about? The America we remember, the America we love, the America we want to continue. It was righteousness. Listen to me. It's important to understand God honors righteousness in a home, a family, or a nation, or in an individual's life. You cannot sin repeatedly and not expect the judgment of God to come on individuals, upon families, and certainly upon nations, as we have seen. Our foundation was of God. I think I've established that. But furthermore, our faith was in God. Can you remember as a kid coming up in school and pledging allegiance to the flag? I can remember doing that. We all stood. I can remember I was in the sixth grade, in Clyteville Elementary School. Probably two people here even know where that is. And I remember a young boy, he was trying to be a smart aleck. He stood up and rather than put his hand on his chest and pledge to the flag, he saluted with a Heil Hitler like this. Well, when he did, man, my teacher went bananas. I mean to tell you, I thought she was going to put him in a headlock and give him a body slam. But she went and grabbed him, and all of us sat down just in fear. But she went lickety-split and grabbed him by the arm. She yanked that arm down and said, "You don't do that here, boy." And she drug him down to the office. He got a paddling. They called his mom and daddy. They came up to the school. And when they took him home, they gave him another whooping, which I think is a good thing. Thank God. Y'all wave your flag. That'll be all right. I think it's a great day when people understand we're not here to hail Hitler. We're not here to honor Allah. We're not here necessarily to go around and just make everybody bow the knee to Jesus after being forced to do so. But we are here and believe in a nation that allows the freedom and also the opportunity to honor those who helped us get our freedom in the past. Righteousness exalteth a nation, a foundation of God, a faith in God, families that are around God. One of the hardest, most difficult things people tell me about their family life is establishing any kind of family altar time or family devotions. It may be just a moment at supper time around the table when you bow your head and acknowledge that God gave you the food, but there ought to be something. Somewhere along the way, children, I think, need to learn from mom and dad a little bit about pausing in the day and giving some time, even again, if it's just around the food or maybe it's around the bedside, wherever it is, take some time to call a time out from all the rustle and bustle and the rat race of life and give some honor to God who gave us our country. I believe, now listen to me what I'm saying here carefully, I don't believe the answer to America's problems, the past that we started with and how it's gotten to the point that it is in our present, I don't think the answer is necessarily revival in all of our churches. Now that'd be wonderful. If it happens, I'd be great. I'd be thankful to the Lord for it. I believe the problem is in our families. I believe if we don't get our families back to God, our nation's never going to get back to God. Because and it sounds so simple, but our nation is made up not of Republicans and Democrats and Independents. That's the way we've divided it. But our country is made up of families. Moms and dads trying to stay together. Parents trying to rear their children, hopefully for the glory of God. Children who want parents they can look up to and respect so that the family that prays together can stay together. And listen, there are some families that though they've been through hardships and difficulties, they still have a desire that they could still have their kids and grandkids close so they can still point them to the same God that saved them, that could save their children and grandchildren. I believe in a nation whose past history may well be wrapped up in that statement, righteousness exalteth a nation. And by the way, our freedom is enjoyed only because of God. I do appreciate, and we make mention of around here all the time about our troops and those who lead, those who fight, those who sacrifice. But I want you to understand this much, there's a God in heaven behind all of it. And there are nations that have fought and lost. There are nations who have fought and won. That America's not the only nation on the planet. There are nations who have been conquered by evil tyrants and dictators. You just think about the coup that's over there in North Korea right now. How those people are oppressed. And how maybe some of them would love to rise up and fight. But I think to a great degree, the propaganda and the message that they are limited to hearing is all about how the, evil American giant is over here and we're trying to take everything they've got. To a degree, they've been brainwashed. They've been fooled about everything. What an awesome thing it would be if there could be the freedom in that country to have the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's a reason people keep Bibles out of nations like that. Because this book, this King James Bible in your lap today would liberate those people, would change their lives just like God used it to change yours. America's past history, we could say much more about it, but I think that's sufficient. I would ask you to consider our present condition. I've already read you some of those statistics and I won't bore you with more of them. But I'd ask you to consider for just a moment that our sinful condition in America may well be typified in what I'm about to read to you from 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Some of you will be familiar with the passage, having read it, studied it, taught from it, or preached on it. The Bible says, this know also, 2 Timothy 3:1, that in the last days perilous times shall come. See if this describes anything in America. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. When have you heard people use God's name in vain in public? My goodness alive, we're worried about the N-word and everybody's saying some of those other four-letter words. I'm not a proponent for any of them, but I just think we ought to stay away from all those that blaspheme and speak evil at God or others. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. This is not just the world. It's America. This is our present sinful condition. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. Listen, when a mama has a baby and throws it in the dumpster, that's not natural affection. When the mother abandons her children, that's not natural affection. The natural thing is for a mother to embrace a child, to love that child, to nurture that child. That's natural. When you hear more on television today about somebody wanting to change their gender, it sounds like something ain't natural. And I know there's been all the talk about the male bathroom, the female bathroom, and then you got to have that transgender, and some of y'all weren't here the day I said it, but we've got one for the men, we've got one for the ladies, and we got a bush outside if you don't know who you are. You can go out there and use the bush. Amen. We let those red tips grow really big so you can hide your big behind over there and help yourself, okay? Amen. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. My goodness alive, just stand up for what's right and watch people shoot you down. Just because you're standing for what's right, because they feel condemned in their own conscience that you're doing it right and godly and they don't even like being around you. Some of y'all face this at work. Just talk about something tomorrow about how the Lord blessed the church. We had a great day. God was good. And somebody said, well, you got to talk about God at work. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded. By the way, traitors, Bergdahl. Bo Bergdahl. No matter what the liberals and the Democrats say about him, when you turn on your fellow troops and you walk away and you go join the other guys, I think that's a traitor. Best I can recollect, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's sufficient in itself. Having a form of God. Now listen, we're still religious. America is still very religious. We have a form of... Last Sunday, if y'all weren't here, you missed one of the greatest services that we have had in a couple of years with those ex-inmates that were here for our prison day. And the testimonies that they... I mean, you, if you weren't here, you missed seeing Ray Bennett wallow on the floor over here in his big white suit to demonstrate how he had had a car wreck. I mean, it's just awesome. It was just absolutely awesome. It was so... Now listen... We had church services lined up, but everything didn't happen the way we had them lined up. I like it when the Holy Spirit guides things. We get just out of the program just a little bit. We went to about 12:30, and nobody seemed to be eager to get out. Everybody seemed to really enjoy it. Amen? I think you did. I did. And then at the end of it, we didn't even have preaching. I think that's what y'all enjoyed the most about it. We didn't have preaching. But the testimony was just absolutely awesome. And what I'm getting at is this. That in this day and age, it's good every now and then that we don't just follow the form and we got the ritual, you know, three songs, a poem, a sermon, and we go home. But every now and then it just kind of gets out of the banks, it overflows, and God gives a great blessing like He did. And I rejoice in it. Every Sunday won't be that way, but it's great. But we live in a day when it's having a form of godliness seems more important than the power thereof. Last part of verse 5 says, from such turn away. There's going to be a day, I believe, that is coming when there's going to be a real parting of the ways between those that decide to go righteously, sincerely, not in arrogance or self-righteousness, but genuinely righteous, and those who choose the wrong and evil path. We are living in a day of sinful conditions. But more than that, our spiritual condition, I believe, might be described. Having said that about the form, let me read you Revelation chapter 3, where the Bible speaks of, I think, the church in the last days. And it says in verse number 17, verse 16, so then because thou art lukewarm, that's what we've got today, lukewarm churches. Neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. The spiritual condition of America is not what it ought to be. The answer is not just more church services. The answer is God's, listen to me now, not the world, not lost people, not the heathen, not those that deny God in the Bible, but us weans, as we say, us people. When we as God's people decide we are going to repent of our own sin. Now, I could preach about drunkenness and rape and burglary and all these things, that are at bank robbery and all these things that are out there. And everybody will amen. But when I get down to where we have problems, things like unforgiveness and bitterness, things we have that are sins that are internal, where we've got an attitude towards somebody, a grudgingness inside of us, or we've got some other sin of the spirit on the inside, that's when the amens go down a little bit, because we want the world to straighten up so we have a great nation. But my point is that in our situation, we need us in here. I need to be more godly. You need to be more godly. I should walk in righteousness. You should walk in righteousness. We need to do all that we can that we clean up our own lives and our own families before we point the finger at the world out there. They're waiting to see something different amongst us. But I'm afraid we're like those who Amos described in Amos chapter 6, where he said this, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion." We're just satisfied. Just good enough, sit back in our spiritual recliner and take our spiritual nap, and then we'll be just like Rip Van Winkle. We'll wake up in 40 years and we'll have missed a revolution. In our case, it could be a negative one. The final thing, I did past, present, and now future. Real simple for us to think about. What's the future for America? Well, the future for America is basically wrapped up in that great passage on revival, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, again, it's not the world, it's God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Don't you know we need humility? Let's recognize this. As bad as the world is out there, we still, as God's people, need to humble ourselves before the Lord. And we need to pray, and we need to turn from our wicked ways, and we need to pray and ask the God of heaven to reach down in mercy and grace and help us. I'll close with this. During the 1700s, the middle 1700s, we had in this country what was called the First Great Awakening. God came down in great power to this young American nation, and all of New England stood in reverence during this time. One great preacher by the name of Jonathan Edwards, on July the 8th, 1741, preached his famous sermon, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." From Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35, where the Bible says, "Their foot shall slide in due time." Edwards boldly declared, and I read from my paper as he did from his, "There is nothing that keeps wicked men at any moment out of hell, but the mere pleasure of God Himself. The reason why they are not fallen already and do not fall now is only that God's appointed time has not come. At the appointed time, their foot shall slide, then they shall be left to fall. God will not hold them up in these slippery places any longer, but will let them go and fall into destruction. Men's hands cannot be strong when God rises up. The strongest have no power to resist Him, nor can any deliver out of His hands. The wrath of God will burn against wicked men. Their damnation does not slumber. The pit is prepared. The fire is made ready. The furnace is now hot and ready to receive them. The flames do now rage and glow. The glittering sword is wet, held over them, and the pit has opened its mouth under them." As Edwards preached this, they say, and I'm reading, that his eyesight began to grow so dim that he had to hold the manuscript so close to him that his people were unable to see his face. And he read it without all of the inflections that I did a moment ago. He simply read it and preached, and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit was so great that people were moved beyond control. Hundreds in the service caught hold of the backs of the pews, lest they should slip into the pit of hell. Most believe the day of judgment had actually come that day about which Edwards was preaching, and that it had finally dawned on them. One man sprang up and rushed to the aisle and cried, "Mr. Edwards! Is there no hope? Is there no hope? Please have mercy." And I'd like to take those words to close. There is hope always in God's mercy. When the publican and the sinner prayed this way, God be merciful as he smote his breast. God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's my prayer. I think it should be your prayer. I think it'd be our nation's prayer. God be merciful so that our past and our present can give us a decent future for not only our children, but for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren to come, that God would have mercy on America. Let's stand together.